Thank you. we are many. God has blessed us and made it to another year. Amen. When you look back at the beginning of the year, some of the trials and tests that you face, amen. Now, some days you didn't know how you're going to make it through the day. But look at what God has done. Look at what God has done. God has brought us through. Amen. I'm sure all of us had some moments that we weren't sure how we were going to make it. Amen. Trials and tests, challenges come on every angle. Some days we didn't know if we could make it through the day, but what a mighty God we serve. How many know we serve a mighty God? How many know we serve a mighty God? We just thank God once again for being in the house of prayer and for all that He's doing. Amen. I'm going to encourage as many as can on tomorrow evening to come out at 10:30 for our watch night service. We spend the first hour praising the Lord, and then we spend the next half an hour praying the New Year's Eve. What better way to start off the new year than in our meetings and asking God for direction? Now, we all make those resolutions, but how many know most of your resolutions you break before the week is out? But when you get a mind of God, hallelujah, when you ask God to lead and to guide you through the year, how many know God is faithful? Come on, how many know we serve a faithful God? Hallelujah, a waymaker, miracle worker,
was it not in thine own power
and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have carried her husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And, Lord, I thank you, will you begin to move? Lord, will you do something out of the ordinary? Lord, when I see the hand of God move, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things, let us pray. Lord, we're not here today because we've been so good. Lord, we're not here because we are a keeper, but Lord, we're here because you are a keeper. Lord, we're here today because you kept back the death angel. Lord, we're here today because even though the devil had plotted and connived against us, Lord, you stood between us and the enemy's attack, and for that we say thank you. Now, Lord, we desire to hear a word from you. Lord, we desire to ask you to speak into our lives. Lord, you know things about us that nobody else knows. Lord God, for your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine asunder of soul and spirit, and journey narrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Lord, we ask you to send the word to reveal the heart. Lord, send the word to reveal clandestine plans. Lord, send the word in the name of Jesus to set the captives free. Lord, send the word this morning to someone that came in on the brink of not knowing if they wanted to make an open confession of faith. Lord, send the word so they may cry out from the depths of our sin. So, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And Lord, hand on the way. We stand on your word, we stand on your promise, and we believe that you're able. And for this we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name, amen, you may be seated. So we serve a God that's able. How many know God's able?
Yes.
Come on, how many know we serve a God that's able? Yes. And I just thank God as you observe the news and see so many catastrophes and so many events that are taking place that are out of control of man. Amen. We know that God is moving. So all of these signs, the Bible says the signs of the times are not intended to alarm or overthrow us, but these are signs for us to be aware of his second coming. How many know the Lord is on his way back?
Amen.
Amen. And the only ones that are going to meet him when he comes back are those that have made themselves ready. There were 10 virgins, 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish. The wise made themselves ready. So when the Lord came back, he said, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. How many want to go back with the Lord when he comes? Then you have to make yourself ready. Amen. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 continued as they were and did not make proper preparations. So when the Lord came back, he called those that were ready and he shut the door. How many know once God shut the door? There ain't a demon in hell that can open it. There ain't a man that can open it when God shut the door. So let's make ourselves ready. Amen. So I'm going to let me read a couple of these verses, then we'll go through it in more depth. But verse 2 said, now Ananias sold the land. God didn't tell him to sell it. It was his own free willing choice to sell the land, just like it's our own willing free choice to get saved. So nobody makes us get saved. Salvation is a choice. That's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. So he made a decision to sell the land, him and his wife. God did not tell him to do it. Amen? So he decided to sell their possession. And he kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why have And are you giving God your all? Now we're going to really get into what we're talking about when we talk about giving God your all. How many knows he says in the scripture that we ought to love the Lord our God with what?
All our heart.
Now, are you loving God today with all your heart, or are you keeping that part for somebody else? In all my heart, with all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our spirit. You know what that means? Love God with everything you have. And don't you hold nothing back. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Now, the Word of God is an amazing instrument when you really study it. When you really search it, when you really try and find out. Jesus said in John 5:39, he says, search God's scriptures. Now there's a huge difference between searching the scriptures and just browsing or skimming through the scriptures. There's a huge difference between searching the scripture and browsing through the scripture. So the word that he used for search is a Greek word, and the Greek word means to thoroughly investigate. It means to thoroughly examine and find out if it's so or not. And the comparison that we will make to searching the scripture is not a glamorous comparison, but if you ever seen a crime scene, when there's a crime scene, they always tape it off and keep everybody out until all the forensics are completed, because they want to make a thorough investigation. Now, whenever they do a thorough investigation, they collect DNA, they collect samples, they collect something as evidence of the crime that's taking place. That's called a search. That is a thorough investigation. Usually when they do a thorough investigation, at the end, the innocence or guilt of an individual can be proven because of a thorough investigation. Now, when they go in and do a haphazard investigation, then you can't prove innocent, you can't prove guilt, because why? They did not search. So there's a huge difference between skimming the scripture and searching the scripture. I started reading the Bible when I was 9 years old, when I got my first New Testament Bible. I read it 3 times a day, but I didn't understand it. I read it, but I only skimmed it. I did not search. So once again, when we search the scripture, we find hidden spiritual nuggets within the text. Can we say hallelujah? So I read this, like you all, probably hundreds of times. The story of Ananias and Sapphira. But this time, when I say, what do we say, search the scriptures? Yes. All right, that's half of y'all. I ain't gonna charge y'all to say search. I just say search.
Search.
It don't cost you nothing to say search.
Yeah.
But when I search the scripture this time, I see some things differently in the scripture. No revelation. So don't look for nothing prophetic. I'm just saying confirmation for what we already know. Because within the scripture, there are always spiritual truth. So I just want to go over something, I'm going to skim over something quickly just to show you a doctrinal truth that's revealed in this text. Now, how many know that Jesus said, I am a father of what?
One.
Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen
the Father.
Then it says in Matthew 28:19, go ye into all the world and preach this gospel, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. So there are many churches that baptize in that, but those are not names, those are titles. But within this text, it reveals who the Father is. Within this text, it reveals who the Son is. And within this text, it reveals who the Holy Ghost is. You say, ha! When you search.
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right, so don't look for nothing great.
Amen.
We just don't look for confirmation.
Amen.
Amen. So, verse 3 says, Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the
Holy Ghost?
Holy Ghost. Amen. And then if we drop down to the end of verse 3, it says, not the end of verse 1, while we remain was it not thine. Let's go down to verse, let me just finish this and we'll get it as we go. Amen. So he said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Actually, let me go back, because these notes, I'm going to show you something. Just pay attention to this, right? At the end of the fourth verse, he said, why has thou lied unto you? Thou hast not lied unto me, but who? So, now he lied unto the Holy Ghost. He lied unto God. Amen. Then he drops down in verse 9 and says to the woman, why haven't they agreed together to tempt the spirit of the Lord? So in one time is they lied to the Holy Ghost. Then the next time they lied to God. Then the next time they lied to the Spirit of the Lord. Well, how many spirits are they talking to? Right? How many spirits are they talking to? One. So this shows you how the apostles knew who Jesus was, who the Holy Ghost was, and who the Father was. So they used them interchangeably. So let's, are you with me? So let's follow this. Now back to verse 3. Just to show you this spiritual nugget when you search. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now if we go to Romans, the 8th chapter, the 9th verse. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit is what? The Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, you're in the Spirit. God is the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. What dwells in us? The Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5 says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the shed love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is where? Is in us. Amen. Now, let me go to verse 4. So just remember that the Spirit of God, well, let me finish that it also, because within this text, it tells you who the Spirit is, who the Father is, and also who the Son is. But you are not in the flesh, but in the what?
Spirit.
The Spirit is the what? The Holy Ghost. Are you with me? And so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? Well, how many spirits are there?
One.
So we got the Spirit of God, we have the Spirit of Christ, and we have the Holy Ghost. So if there's only, how many spirits are there?
One.
Well, how many? How do we know there's only one spirit? Let's go to Ephesians 4:4.
Right.
Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
When you search, you find out there's a lot more within the text than you realize if you just casually read it. Ephesians 4:4 reads, there is one body and
one spirit.
How many spirits?
One.
So it's the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit is only one. That means they all have to be
one.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go to verse 4. He said, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto me, but unto
God.
Well, I just lied to the Holy Ghost. Now you're lying to God. It's the same text. It has not changed. Amen. Well, who is God? Let's go to 1 John 5:20. This is just to show you the golden knowledge that's hidden within the text, then we'll get into the message.
Yeah.
Somebody said, when you finish that, that better be the message. Amen. But let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. It says, now first, if what's the Holy Ghost, that's God. It says, never want to deal with God. And we know that the Son of God is come. Who's the Son of God?
Jesus.
Jesus. The Son of God is come and has given us an. So Jesus gives us understanding. He says in Matthew 11 and Luke 10, he does not give us understanding, but he gives us revelation. So Jesus came and gives us a revelation that we may know him that is
true.
So he's going to reveal to us him that is true. Amen. That's the doorbell. Somebody get that. Reveal to us him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is? Jesus Christ is who?
True God.
Lord, what a mighty God we serve. Not only is he the true God, but he's also eternal life. So this is all within the text when you allow God to speak. When you search the scriptures, can we say hallelujah? Now let's get down to verse 8. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Now remember, when the land was there, she was free to do as she pleased. But don't try to trick God. Don't try to fool God. Amen. Because nobody told them the plan, told Peter the plan, but who told him? God told him. So verse 9 said, Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the
spirit?
Behold, the feet of them that have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Now, who is the Spirit of the Lord? Let us go to 2 Corinthians 3, verses 14 to 18. Amen?
Yes.
The truth of God's word. Yes. Who is the Father? Who is the Son?
Yes.
Who is the Holy Ghost? Who is God? Who is Jesus? They're all one. Jesus says in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, when you search the scripture, it reveals the oneness of God. Can we say hallelujah? 2 Corinthians 3:14 reads, but their minds were a lot today. Somebody said, well, you know, they don't know because their minds have been blinded. For until this day remains the same veil untaken in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They're still stuck in the old way. They won't receive the revelation of what God is showing them. And he lets you know that when Jesus Christ was the veil, the Bible said when he was crucified, when he died, that the veil rent from the top to the bottom. Well, why did the veil rent from the top to the bottom? Because he said, I'm going to show you, man can't do this. If man's going to rip it, he got to start from the bottom to the top. But God's going to show, I'm going to abolish that which was established in the past, and I'm bringing in a new and better way. So I'm going to rip the veil from the top to the bottom. So there's no doubt, when you look at it, you say, who did it?
God.
Come on, when you look at it, who did it? God did it. Hallelujah. But even unto this day, when Moses read, the veil was upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the veil shall be. Well, he just said that Christ took the veil away. Now he said the Lord took the veil away. Well, how many did it? Because they were what? They were saved. Amen. Behold, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now the Lord is that
Spirit.
Wait a minute. How many spirits are there?
One.
So if Jesus is Lord, remember they said in the Revelation, they're going to crown him Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. So if Jesus is Lord, and the Lord is that Spirit, well, the Spirit of the Lord is there is
liberty.
So if Jesus is the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord gives us liberty, then they lied to Jesus. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Well, I said, well, how do you know? Now I'm going to finish this up. Corinthians 12 chapter, verse 4 through 6. We're talking about God is what? One. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. How? That's why the apostle uses the terms interchangeably to let you know that they are one. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6 says, now there are diversities of gift, but there's only one Spirit. Listen, but there are differences of administration, but
same Lord.
Same Spirit, one Lord. And there are differences of diversities of operation, but it's the same.
Wow.
So that means the Spirit, the Lord and God are
one.
No challenge.
Yeah, right.
That's just to let you know when you study the Scripture. God will reveal hidden nuggets in there for you. Amen? All right, now let's get back to our text. Can we get back to the text? I just want to show you there's so many things that you get out of the Word of God when you don't just read it like it's a novel or book. But when you study it, God confirms what he says in his Word, that behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen? And that's why when they asked Peter on the day of Pentecost, when they heard that they had crucified the Lord, the Bible said they were convicted in their heart. Pretty mean they were convicted. And said Peter to the rest of the apostles, we made a mistake. What are we going to do to correct the mistake that we made in crucifying the Lord? He says, repent. Repentance means you have to change from the direction that you're going in. Amen. You got to change from the wrong road that you're traveling on. You got to turn around. How many 360 degree turn is when you turn around and you're going the same way, right? Right? 180 is a turn, that's 180.
Yes.
If I turn 360, I turn around, but I'm still going the same way. So repentance is when you change the road that I was on, the destructive path that I was on, the way that was taking me away from God, I made a repentance.
Yes,
Jesus Christ for the gifts. When somebody gave you a gift, did you have to go out and pay for it? It's an intricate question. Like, when you give your gift, you have to pay for a gift? It's what they want. Give it to you. What God says is, if your heart is right, you want the Holy Ghost, God will.
Give it to you.
Feel free to give it to you. Lord, thank you. Lord, so I went to the church one night, my heart wasn't right. But something got a hold of me. Hallelujah. Something changed my heart. Something changed my mind. Hallelujah. I was afraid coming down south when they said, you want the Holy Ghost? I said, no, we don't down south. We don't mess with ghosts. Anybody from down south, seriously. Man, ghosts, when they say ghosts, we go the other way. So I said, I get the baptism in Jesus' name, but I don't want the Holy Ghost. Looking at everybody else have the Holy Ghost, because I don't mess with ghosts. But one day I was sitting in the room. Somebody else was trying to get the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, something touched me.
Protection.
He puts a wall of protection all about you. So they both died, and the Bible says great fear came upon all them that heard. Why? Because nobody told them, but God spoke to them. God spoke to Peter, and he let him know, you can't conceive stuff in your heart and think God don't know it. Hallelujah. He said, I feel on heaven, and I feel it on earth. There's not a plan in your mind, there's not a plan in your heart that I, the Lord, don't know it. He said, if you want to know about me and know the truth about me, I know your thoughts even afar off. I know your plans for tomorrow. I know your plans for today. Now there is an old saying, if you play with fire, you what? You play with fire, you get burnt. So they played with fire and got burnt because they didn't want to give God their all. Now if we go to Psalms, the 25th chapter and verse 1 of this 25th chapter of Psalms, this is the Psalm of David. And David says that we're talking about the difference between giving God all and holding back. Right? Now, this is your personal evaluation for your life. I can't decide what you're giving God. Only one that can answer for what you're giving God is you. I can't decide what my wife is giving God. I know her, but only she knows how much of God she's giving. She can't decide how much I'm giving God because only I know how much I'm giving God. That's why the Bible says, work out your
own salvation.
You got to be saved, but you got to work it out for yourself. Too many people are living on a coattail salvation. It doesn't work. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So Psalms 25:1 says, David said, O Lord, unto thee I lift up my soul. Right? This is Psalm 25:1. He said, I lift up my soul to thee. Now soul is the Hebrew word nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H, nephesh. Nephesh means all of you. Your soul means all of you. That means it's not just a lot of people think your soul, when you depart, it's just going to be your soul. When he uses this term, he means all of you. Well, how do we know? It says in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God breathed forth man from the ground and the earth and breathed into man, and man became a living nephesh. So when he breathed into man, man began to live. He became the whole being, the nephesh. So nephesh means all of you. So that means whenever God asks, you can give God all. So what David says, he said, Lord, I'm going to present myself as an altar unto you. I lift up my soul unto you. I place myself on the altar. I'm giving you all of me. Well, how do we know about all? He said, present your bodies in what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we have to give God all of us. David said, well, how can I freely give God all of me? How can I place myself on the altar of God? How can, if God tells me to give this and I don't know how I'm going to make tomorrow, how can I do it? Because I trust him. In verse 2, he said, oh my God, I trust you. Oh my God, my trust. I can put myself on the altar. I can give God all of me because I trust him. He said, oh my God, I trust you. He said, so let me not be ashamed. And I'm just breaking this down. Ashamed is a Hebrew word means to be put to an up, being public spectacle, public humiliation, public embarrassment. He said, because I trust God, God won't shame me publicly. You know, somebody said, well, I gave God all of this and I lost my house, I lost my car. God can do that. Because God won't shame you. Amen. He said, let me not be ashamed. He said, as a matter of fact, don't even let my enemies triumph. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are trusting God. He said, yea, Lord, let none that win God's going to bless my soul. Why? I just gave him all of me. So he has all of me, so he will protect and he will keep me. He said, deliver me and let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in. When you trust God, God won't let you be ashamed. People say, well, I will get saved, but I don't want to deal with the embarrassment. The embarrassment is when you don't get saved. Because then you don't have God's help. Can we say hallelujah? And in closing, let us go to Malachi, the first chapter. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Are you giving God your all, or are you holding back? Somebody said, well, I've been faithful in church. I've been coming to church on a regular, hope and all this. The Bible says hope, right? Hope. Your hope, that's a confident expectation that God's going to meet every need you have in life. That's hope. Can we say every need?
Every need.
If you hope he meets every need, well, how do we know? Go to Romans 5:5 for a second first. Then we're going to go to Malachi 1. Well, how do we know that God's going to meet all of our needs? And this is what, how do you trust God and think God's going to let you down?
All right, come on.
How can God shame you or let anybody else put you into a public disgrace when you give God your all? But when you do be Ananias and Sapphira, can y'all just say this with me? Look at somebody and say, don't be Ananias and don't be Sapphira. Come on. Don't be Ananias and don't be Sapphira. Because we were dishonest. Right? Live in honesty. God will get you if you're not honest. But Romans 5:5 said, hope. That's been your expectation, your confidence, your trust in God. Hope make it. Well, why you get my hope is in Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than
Jesus.
And righteous, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is. That means if you ain't in Christ, you're in trouble. Because right, when you get in Christ, you're not on sinking sand. But hope make it not ashamed. Why? Because when you get hope, you get baptized, and the love of God is shed abroad in your
heart.
By the Holy Ghost. Well, hope won't make me ashamed. Why? Because my hope tells me I have confidence in God. And I don't care what the devil in hell says. Amen. You all know the story. We went through 8 banks before we were able to get one bank to say yes to this church. Right? So every time I got to one of those toxic people to say you can't do it, I closed the door. Because my hope was not in the system. My hope was not in the bank. My hope was in Jesus. And you know what the Lord told me? He told me in 1 Corinthians 1 and 20, I believe it. He said, all of my promises in me are yea and
amen.
Amen. So if I go by his promises and they're yea and amen, I can't let you talk me out of God's promises.
Right.
And people say, well, you can't do that. God didn't say I can't do it. God said I can do all things. But Malachi 1, I'm going to close here in Malachi 1. We're talking about those that are holding back on God. Those that haven't given God their all. I come to church, I pay my tithes, I give my offering, I'm faithful to this, I'm faithful to that. But the question is not that, are you giving God your best? Are y'all with me? All right, so Malachi, let's start in verse 6. I'm going to close here, so y'all don't look at the clock with me. Give me a few minutes. Because we're trying to decide, are you holding back on God? Now, you know, God knows. We might not know. But every last one of us knows if we're holding back on God, or if we're giving God our all. We know personally. So if we can't figure it out, let's use some scriptures to help reveal whether we're giving God our all or not. Verse 6 says, a son honoreth his father, and his servant his. God said that if I be your father, where is your honor? If I be your father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord, O host, are to you, O priests, that despise my name. And you say, wherein am we? You ever see people living so wrong and say, well, what did I do wrong? The priest, even though this written to the religious leaders of that day and time, it also applies to the people. This is after Judah had come out of Babylon and they had gone back under Nehemiah. and began to build the temple. But as they began to build the temple, they got complacent. They said, well, we've been working on all this stuff for God long enough. It's time for me to do my own thing now. Right? So if you read about it in Haggai, it says they would put their money in bags, and then bags had holes in it. Why? Because they let the house of God go to waste. Because they became single-eyed on themselves, and they forgot about God. So this is what Malachi is dealing with, that same spirit. You have forgotten about the work of God because you're all consumed with self. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
You offer polluted bread upon mine altars, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the Lord, table of the Lord is. In other words, we ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice on the what? On the altar. Right? Living sacrifice. All sacrifices were placed where? So he said, now listen, this is us individually. You are presenting yourself on the altar. If you present yourself on the altar of God, then you got some malice in your heart. That's polluted. If you present yourself on the altar, you got jealousy in your heart. That's say polluted. So you can't be putting yourself on the altar of God with all of that stuff that you know that's in you and ain't right. The Bible said that is. I mean, who might live in areas polluted? Right? He said, that's polluted. You can't be put, well, you just talk all ugly and nasty and use all the wrong language to somebody and then you went to the altar? God said, that is polluted. You can't give God that because that means you're not giving God your all, but you're holding back. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I did about a million things wrong, but I'm still going to pray. God said, wait a minute. You got a million things on your trip? Leave your gift at the altar. Go straighten out that 999,999,999. He said, go get them all. Did he say gifts or what? Somebody said, well, I got this one problem. You can't put yourself on the altar till you clear that problem up. So then when you clear that up, then go put yourself on the altar. Until then, it's what? It's polluted. So you offer polluted bread upon my altar and say, how is this? If you offer the blind for service, is it not evil? So what Israel was doing, they're like, man, I got, look how God has blessed me. I got all this flock. I got all these lambs. I got all of this stuff. But when I have to give God an offering, I'm not going to give him the best. I'm going to give him the stuff that nobody else will. Because I'm not giving him my all. I'm holding back. So I can't give God my all. Why? You're giving God. He said, wait a minute. You bringing an animal to me like that's blind for sacrifice? He said, that is evil. You're supposed to give God something that's unblemished, that's unspotted, unblemished. You're supposed to give God that which is as perfect as you can see. You're supposed to give God the best. He said, but you're giving me stuff on my altar that ain't your best. He said, that is evil. Because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. He said, and if you offer the lame and sick, is it not? So when they were saying, listen, they think I got to kill it anyway. So since I got to kill it, I'm going to keep the best for me. I want to give God that which is sick and lame. That's not giving God your best. That means you are holding back. So you got all that perfect stuff out in the flock. But what are you putting on your altar to God? You're giving that which the man don't even take. Right? Any of y'all ever go to the store? I go to the store, I look at my meat. If I look at meat, when I used to eat it, because I'm going to eat it right now. Right? But when I used to eat it, if it has some stuff on it, I used to go fishing a lot. If I caught a fish and the fish had something growing on it, put it back in the water. Right? Because I didn't want something that might be diseased. How are we offering God disease stuff and think God's going to take it? And say, God, I'm giving you my best. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
He said, well, now offer that unto your governor. See if he will be pleased or accept thy person, said the Lord. And now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, said the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that will shut the door for nothing? For naught. So listen, you ever see somebody, I'm just curious, if you don't ever see somebody walking through a door, right? You don't ever see somebody walking through a door, just open and close it. If you don't see somebody sitting there opening and closing the door, I do have some questions. You're gonna go up to that person and say, is everything okay? You just keep opening and closing the door. Why? You're doing it for what? For nothing. Well, God said, that's what is happening to my people. They've forgotten about me and they're doing stuff that don't mean a thing to me. They're giving me nothing, they're not giving me their best. They're opening and closing the door for naught. He said, neither do you kindle a fire on my altar. When you put the fire on the altar, that means you had an acceptable sacrifice. So if I were to borrow the terms of God in Genesis, the fourth chapter, we got a lot of kings on the altar. We put a lot of stuff that we want to give God, but God told me, wait a minute, that stuff that you're giving me is not acceptable. Go back and do that which is right. He said, and I will accept it. But many of in the church today have got like Cain. Instead of doing what's right, they get angry and won't give God their best. He said, if thou doest well, won't your offering be accepted? But God said, I can't accept something that is not what I want. Amen. How can you give God something that he don't want when God gave it to you to give to him in the first place? Amen. So let me finish. I'm almost finished, right? He said, I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. So my question is, we all stand today. We're giving to God. But what are we holding back? Elders and evangelists come for evangelism. We're giving to God. But what are we holding back? Are we really giving God our all? Now, you don't have to convince me. But within your own heart, search your own heart today. All of us want the blessings of God. All of us want the protection of God. But do you fully trust God? Do you fully, if God says, I want you to go down the street and do this, and he's speaking to you, you know it's God, will you be obedient to his voice? The Bible said, God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. So if you don't obey him, he won't give you the Holy Ghost. God saves those that obey him. If you don't obey him, he can't save you. I don't care what the world tells you, this is what God's word says. How many just want to hear God's word and say, well done, our good and faithful servant? God won't tell you well done if you don't obey him. He said, if you don't do it well, it is sin. If you don't give God what's acceptable today, it's sin. The question that we're going to ask once again, are you holding back on God? Or are you giving God your all again?